Let us rise and read God's word. Psalm 105. Here it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, I believe that in our day also there are but a few in number and few in the land. But it goes on to say, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came true, and the word of the Lord proved him right. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Let us pray together for the blessing of God. Faithful Lord, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we may again be gathered here, from near and far, from peoples and tongues and nations. We are again gathered here, Lord, in your wonderful and glorious name. We thank you from the depth of our hearts that we may now look up to you, Lord. Lord, even though we are oppressed, Lord, we look up to you and know, Lord, you are with us. Even though we feel nothing of your power, Lord, but you lead us to the goal, even through the night, Lord. We worship you, Lord, and praise your faithfulness and mercy. We ask you also this evening, Lord, continue to give your word. Lord, speak to us. Tell us what we need to be told for this time. O Lord, we see how everything is happening in our days, Lord. Events are rushing by, Lord. But Lord, we look up to you, for we know our redemption is drawing near. Hallelujah. Praise be to you. Receive the worship, Lord. Receive the praise and the glory, Lord. We also pray, Lord, come into our midst, bless your people, bless all who have come, Lord, from near and far, Lord. To you alone be the honor and praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for His grace and faithfulness. It was already said at that time, they will come from the east and west and sit down and sup with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am especially thankful for all that is happening and for what God is doing in our days. Also for the political events, for all the turnaround and upheaval and whatever there is. From this we can see very clearly what a time we are living in and have arrived in. God is just doing great things. Where we don't get, the video cassettes get there, or the tape cassettes, circular letters, other brochures. God is seeking, God is finding people everywhere. When I flew back from Geneva today, I thought about all that God is doing in our days. But I also noticed with a sad heart how everything complies and submits to Rome in such a way that one can almost be frightened. But we know that it is according to the scriptures, and no man will change it. What offends me in all this, I can tell you, it offends me beyond measure that the whole population of the earth has been deceived into believing that the Pope represents God and the Kingdom of God. Did I say that correctly? And I will also tell you why I said it. I have read today, as I seldom do, at least 5-6 newspapers, and just specifically about this visit of our very revered Mr. Gorbachev, whom we all love dearly. But he too has to slip into the end times phase. He cannot go it alone. He has to fit into the bigger picture. The newspaper Le Monde writes very clearly as a headline, Mr. Gorbachev exceptionally qualified to meet the Pope. But that is not all. I have read the newspaper The World, I have read Frankfurter, I have read many English newspapers, but here the headline, Pope blesses Gorbachev. With folded hands, Kremlin leader Gorbachev sat in front of Jean-Paul II in the papal library. And here it comes. For the first time, a pope received the Soviet General Secretary yesterday. In the private library, Jean-Paul II spoke with Mikhail Gorbachev for 1 hour and 15 minutes in Russian without an interpreter. Also good. The result of the historic visit, the Vatican and the USSR want to resume relations that were broken off in 1917. Gorbachev invited the Pope to Moscow as a farewell. The so-called Holy Father blessed Gorbachev and his wife Raisa. She said she, her family, and the whole Soviet people have the blessing of Almighty God. So they are of the opinion that now the blessing of God has come upon them. My book, which is already printed and will be finished at the bookbinders next week, should hit like a bomb. We have the task of explaining and showing mankind who Jesus Christ really is. And the other side of the coin is, our task is to show who the Antichrist really is. That's just part of the development of our day. I don't know if everybody understands this, but when it is written in Revelation 13, verse 8, that the whole world will pay homage to him, all those whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb, slain since the foundation of the world, then we really see this fulfilled before our eyes. Shall we remain silent on this? Or shall we give and address the admonition to all nations and tongues? He who will listen, let him listen. He who will not, let him not. But let mankind know that a prophetic message was in the land, and that God has given a revelation of his word by grace. And I am convinced he will do it. Seeing now that all the world is submitting, especially with you, beloved brothers and sisters from the German Democratic Republic, we give thanks to you for the 9th of November this year. We give thanks to God for all that has happened. Who could have predicted or dared to believe a month ago that today our beloved brothers and sisters would be here with their own vehicles? How many are here today from the German Democratic Republic? Let me see your hands, or stand up for a moment. Please stand up. Yes, there you have them. Amen. Amen. God bless you in a special way. Thank you. I welcomed brothers and sisters from Russia earlier. All of them, really all of them, are dear to us. We do not have a national spirit. We have the Spirit of God. We would be happy if God would be pleased to use Central Europe here to proclaim his revealed word, his real truth, not what men put forward as truth, but really divine truth. If this truth of the word could be proclaimed, and that in all the world, and it will certainly happen according to the will and the word of our God. And I thought of this in the context of the word from the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts, chapter 4, here in verse 29, is something quite wonderful. Verse 29 and 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had thus prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let us stand up and pray also as they prayed. Lord our God, we come before your face as our brothers and sisters did in the beginning, threatened, persecuted. You were with them and confirmed your word by signs and wonders following. Beloved Lord, the end shall be like the beginning in every way. And so we ask you, see all the threats, hear all the lofty words, and command thou the mighty as the Almighty, and be with us as you were with our fathers, and do something extraordinary. We thank you that you are the victor of Golgotha, and that you speak the last word and no one else. We pray for the authorities, also for those who accused, also for the one who then did it. We pray for this and thank you that you have also given us this trial, that we may pray from our hearts, almost with laughter, for our enemies. Bless them, Lord. Have mercy on them. They know not what they do. Faithful God, and bless us tonight, and be with us by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you all know, I never wanted to include politics in the proclamation of the word, because it is not proper. But when things are going on that really have a prophetic character and belong to the end time development, then you simply have to touch on them. You have to read the relevant scriptures in order to have spiritual orientation. What we need today is spiritual orientation to know how far the time has already progressed. And I think we all agree with that. The words almost rhyme. Yalta and Malta. In 1944, the three great men, Stalin, Roosevelt, Churchill, divided the world into East and West, decided who would get what, who would have control over which area. Today, on this day, today, the two superpowers are sitting in Malta to decide what should happen. The question then was how to divide it up. Today, the question is how it can be united. And we see that some years have passed on this road from Yalta to Malta. But we see equally that we are now in a phase which is also no longer the phase of the Cold War. And I don't have to be a prophet to say that the two power blocks are no longer power blocks at all, because it is written that they all must give their power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. That is how it is written in Revelation 17, from verse 17. The great powers are no longer great powers. Do you understand this? Those who know Bible prophecy have read the prophet Daniel and have looked into the book of Revelation through Revelation, will have understood that only four empires were thought of until the end. The last one was the Roman Empire. You can read about it. In the book I've also explained it. I simply feel led to enlighten and expose, to inform and to bring the bright light of the revealed word to the people who have been left and kept in the dark. What happens to me is left to God. But one thing is certain, that everything that has ever been written has run its course and circulated, has been read and then also believed and put into practice. In the prophet Daniel, I would like to read two scriptures. One from chapter 5, Daniel chapter 5. Here from verse 13, The following is written, maybe from verse 11 already. Daniel 5 from verse 11. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Keep in mind that was a pagan woman who said that. She knew nothing of the one God, only of several gods. But what is meant is the Spirit of God. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. You all know the whole context. Soothsayers, astrologers, magicians, who they all were, wanted to wriggle around the matter and cheat their way through, but it didn't work that way. Daniel was a prophet of God, and the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. It is revealed to him. It is not his own wisdom, but divine revelation that makes itself known there, in which the hidden is revealed, the inexplicable is explained, the incomprehensible is made understandable. We believe that we are now living in the last days, and that the same Spirit that rested on the prophets and inspired them rests on us and inspires us, that in the same Spirit of God we see what they saw and understand as they understood. We have often said it. We have had epochs, glorious epochs, and especially since the days of the Reformation, and even before that, when Hus was burned at the stake in Constance, who had such a close connection with Wycliffe, many have still had to lay down their lives so that the word of the Lord could once again be freely proclaimed. And we have indeed had great men since that time, truly great men with whom we cannot measure ourselves today. A Moody, a Finney, who they all were, right into our generation or our century. There have been really great men of God. But the period of fulfillment or the period of time when what the prophets were talking about was to come to fulfillment was not yet there, and therefore they did not get the revelation about the things that were not even pending. If they were alive today, they would be among us. I maintain that if Martin Luther were alive today, he would be here. If all men of God, if they were men of God, they would have always been there and would still be there today, where the true word of God is proclaimed according to the hour of God's plan of salvation. Most certainly. Where would you find the prophets today? Most certainly not where there is no understanding for what they said. Where would you find the apostles today? Where people do not believe what they believed and do not teach what they taught? Where would we find all the men of God? We would find them there where that is preached and taught and believed what they preached, believed and taught. Amen. Amen. And that is why God has called out of every age a multitude of overcomers, a number that let themselves be called out. Not that God said, "You I take and you I leave." That would not be right with God. God wants all people to be helped, that all come to the knowledge of the truth, that all to be saved, but not all let themselves be saved, and not all want to bow or face the truth. We are very grateful to God that we, as the simplest of human beings, are allowed to live in the truly greatest time in human history and also in the divine plan of salvation. In a time where is no more guesswork, where there is no more interpreting going on, but where God has revealed. At certain times, when something extraordinary was to happen, the Lord always had men in His kingdom, like Daniel, on whom the Spirit of God rested. Divine insight, divine wisdom, oversight, knowledge. They did not take all this for themselves. It was given to them. And the wisdom in the men of God surpassed all the knowledge of the soothsayers, of the astrologers, of all those who mislead the people long enough with many tricks. And it is indeed also my heart's desire, and I believe God will do it, that we not only come with words of revelation and with truth, but that God will confirm His word in a mighty way, because He can and He will. We dealt with this recently. It is not a question of whether God can or wants. God can and God wants. The question is always whether we can believe. And only then, when we can believe, can He do what He wants to do. He wants, but you must also want. I must also want. We have to put our will in the will of God. Daniel, a simple man, but filled with the Spirit of God, a prophet, a man of God, to whom the Lord could reveal what had been hidden from others. In Daniel 12, in verse 4, we read, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Today, we can search the scriptures, and knowledge is increasing, because the time is here when these things will all be fulfilled. And you know also, there's a word in chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, that God will even confirm the prophet, the vision and the prophet. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophet and to anoint the Most Holy. It belongs to it that He confirms what prophets had seen in visions. For the prophets were seers. They first saw, and then they spoke. Today many do not see, but they speak. And they speak by themselves, past God. True prophets are seers. They see in the vision what God wants to show them. And then inspiration comes to describe and divinely illuminate what they see. God will confirm both the prophet and what prophets have seen. We believe it down to this time. There is a word. It should be in Luke chapter 3. Here it is actually formulated most beautifully as far as the whole thing as an overview is concerned. Luke chapter 3. It says of John the Baptist in verse 2. Luke 3 from verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. John did not just come on the scene. He waited for the moment when the word of the Lord came to him. And the moment the word of God came to him, he came on the scene. In verse 3 it says, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. What a wonderful formulation! A man sent by God with a message of God for that time to bridge the Old Testament to the New Testament. Here it says, I read it again. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Not yours and mine, his paths. Prepare his paths for him. Prepare the way of the Lord. Men sent by God with the word of the hour have stood on the prophetic word because it was fulfilled in their time and they themselves became a part of what God had foretold. And we are going to update, not only tonight, but again and again, the developments that are going on now, based on the scriptures. For all is fulfillment of the word of God, so that shortly it may be proclaimed, now is peace and safety, and no more danger. It just has to come to it. But what is directly on my heart is not only the turnaround or the upheaval, the opening of the borders, for it will take a course, a development that is taking place, but we must not wait until this development is completed. For at the time when this development, the moving towards each other, the uniting, and we are not adding anything new here when we say today is uniting in religious terms in every way, whether Church of England, whatever it may be, they all find their way back to Rome. Uniting of politicians, of political systems, of different kinds, unification of churches of different kinds, but unification at any price, unification at all costs. And you have most certainly noticed, if you haven't just kind of looked past it, If we look at the development in the years that are a little further behind us, be it German Democratic Republic, when the uprising was there, be it in Prague, wherever it was, at that time, the church was not behind it, and therefore it couldn't work. You may say, Brother Frank, with what right do you say that? If Dubček had had the whole church behind him, if it would have come from below and from the people, as it did with Mr. Valença at the Lenin shipyard in Gdansk, who was seen kneeling and the priest hearing his confession, all out in the open, the whole world watching. Do you think all this would have happened in all those countries if the world power church had not been behind it? Make no mistake. From the beginning, when the Roman church came into being, it was the Roman imperial church, and the common cause was state and church. Do you think, beloved brothers and sisters, in the German Democratic Republic, that if the people had not come together beforehand to worship, it would have been? Make no mistake, to worship, so-called. We see the development. We see it with very clear eyes and clear vision. The time has come, and Mr. Gorbachev, who is certainly not an atheist in his heart, because he has believing parents, he knows about the Bible. He also has to go along with it, whether he likes it or not. But everywhere, you have also seen that, in the twinkling of an eye, the churches were opened, restored, and the monasteries. Have you read all this? And if I were to tell you today the amount that the country, our Saarland, alone has given to Russia to repair the monasteries and everything, you would no longer walk straight out of this room. Everything is already on the way. Common cause. People may belong to a political party, wherever they want. Who writes the speeches they make? Who is behind everything? I don't want to go into politics, because it's not my thing. I don't really want to, but the time has come when again, as in the beginning, when the Roman Church came into being, both have made common cause. It was two things, but it was one thing. The government helped the church, and the church helped the government. And so it will be now. A unification without a religious background would not be trustworthy at all. A person must be found in whom all put their trust. And as I said, when I read here that Mr. Gorbachev's wife said afterwards that now God had blessed her and her house and her whole country, then it is already clear to me that she does not have a clear view. A human being cannot bless, only God can bless. But the people have been led astray, and that must change, believe me. Can you understand this roughly? That God will send a great crash into the religious world, that something will break open that is not yet conceivable, and the people will be forced to think about it and perhaps also to realize that they have been deceived. Back then, when all the uprisings were everywhere and people wanted to throw off the yoke of oppression, they were too weak because they lacked that power. Today, everything has changed, and we see that it is really coming to an end. And when it is clearly written in Revelation 17 that the harlot rides on the beast, then this is true. And this also I recently mentioned here. There are really experts who want to rebuild the old Roman Empire like that, with 10 horns and 7 heads. I wish they would use their own head better or open their heart to revelation. It is not even a question of how many countries are in the east or how many are in the west. It is only a question of this area that was once under the rule of Rome being under the rule of Rome again. You know very well that when the Bible says the kingdom of God will be like 10 virgins, then there are not only 10 virgins, then there are many. It is a parable to say half will make it, the other half will stay behind. But I've written about this. We don't need to go here into detail. One thing is certain, that the beast must form a common course, namely east and west, a whole. Whatever it may look like, it must be a whole. The 7 heads can't be lying around there somewhere and the 10 horns there. It has to be a unity, otherwise it doesn't work. And as I said earlier, at Yalta there was division. I looked it up. Roosevelt asked Churchill how many Germans were already dead. He said 5 million. And then the somewhat corpulent Churchill said, 1 million more wouldn't hurt. Back then there was division. Today there is unification. And the politicians can all talk what they like. Those who talk past God's word will have to be taught better. But of course, this is unbelievable for everyone. Be honest. We ourselves have a hard time keeping up with the development as it is happening now. And in a very short time, there will be what God has promised and announced in His word. And as I mentioned earlier, let me read it to you from Revelation 17, so that you may know that it is written that even the 10 horns, who will then hate the whore and make her naked and burn her, that is, will pay back the Vatican, they too must temporarily give their power to this beast. Revelation 17, from verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Just imagine, they will hate her. But in order for the words of God to be fulfilled, they still have to give their power to the beast, even though they will hate her. I read it again. These shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Yes, but that comes after. What comes before? Before comes union. I read on. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Praise be to the living God. So clear, so plain. You can see it. You can see it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In their heart they know the thing is not kosher, but they must. They must. So that God's word may be fulfilled. They must give their power. The mighty must give their power, so that this great power, Rome, may come to the fore again, and this whore may ride on this beast. And I tell you already now, because God's word says so, at the time when this acting in one mind has really been accomplished, and one no longer speaks of East and West, no longer speaks of the military blocks and so forth, very soon one will say to the Americans, go back to America, and to the Soviet people, go back to the Soviet Union, and everyone else can go with them where they belong. It's only a question of time, and that too will happen sooner than we now suspect. So, as God's word says here, it will come to the point that this beast, this power that was once here and is no longer here, but then it will come forth again, and it will come forth without any doubt. You have certainly noticed the catchwords: European house, accessible to everyone, all doors and windows open, and so on. One roof, one house for all. Beloved, my heart aches when I think that we, one could almost say, interpret and correctly understand the signs of the times, and yet, as the Church of the Lord, are not yet where we are supposed to be. Perhaps the only comfort I have is this: Brother Branham saw it, and he said, when the squeeze by the World Council of Churches will be put on the true believers, then the great things we are waiting for will happen. God has His time for that too, as He now has the time to prepare all this in haste. And we notice what is happening now is happening in haste, not as slowly as it used to be. And just like that, it will be there overnight, that God will equip His people with power from on high and confirm His word, confirm it as truth. In the end, we will not be the fools. Today we are. People look at us like that. They mock us and laugh at us. But then we will be the ones who will rejoice with joy, and our mouths will be full of laughter on the day the Lord accomplishes it. Don't you worry. All things now take their course and go towards the end. Would a Stalin have sat there with folded hands to be blessed, or other people, or Monsieur Nikita Khrushchev, who took off his shoe and banged on the table so hard you could almost hear it here in Europe? He wouldn't have done it. What has happened? The time has come. I will say it again. The great powers have become small. What is now becoming great and becoming important is the united Europe, the ancient Roman Empire, and the Roman Church will use that power to achieve its goals. But God, also in our day, and I'm not ashamed of it, He sent a prophet to reveal the prophetic word to us. He did not know it himself. It was given to him by God. Just like the prophets Daniel and other prophets, we are not singling out one person here, but we are very grateful to God that we no longer have to ask, how do you see it, dear brother? Or what do you think, dear brother? We no longer think and we no longer ask, because God has revealed it to us and given us the answer about it. I can remember very well the times, and this brings me to the end, when in our house the experienced brothers of the word came together, whether I was 14 years old or 15, 16 or even older, it doesn't matter. I always heard them. And one asked the other, what do you say? And what understanding did God give you about it? The formulations were different, and the answers were just as different. But today, we no longer formulate. Today we can say, God had a man in His kingdom, even in our days, whom He could fill with the Holy Spirit, to whom divine revelation was given, who had the Thus saith the Lord, and made the revelation become revelation again through the Holy Spirit who spoke through him. We would not know all these things, would we, beloved brothers and sisters, if God had not revealed them to us. To him, the only God, be praise and honor, glory and worship, for saving us, pardoning us, paying our debts, forgiving our sins, giving us eternal life, but also for the fact that we are now allowed to live in this time and that we now see the divine message and this part of the plan of salvation in the light of divine revelation. We do not ask, what does this evangelist say and what does that one say? A great radio evangelist said, because Gorbachev at his birth got a little spot on his head, that this is the mark of the beast. A great radio evangelist. One cannot even imagine, and we are not judging here, but without God and without divine revelation, the wisest people are fools. You can forget their wisdom. God alone reveals and gives grace to understand what is revealed. May a thanksgiving arise in us, really a praise, raising from our hearts to the throne of God. This is the most powerful time in the history of mankind. And now to see with seeing eyes, with a believing heart, and with hearing ears, what the Spirit is saying to the churches, and to see what many prophets and righteous men would have loved to see. Praised and blessed be the Lord our God, who has so graciously visited us in our days, now and forever. Amen. Let us rise and pray. Brother Rus, will you come and pray? Faithful God, we thank thee together, Lord, for thy precious and holy word. We see it not from ourselves, but by thy grace. You have given us enlightened eyes and enlightened hearts. From ourselves we all went astray. Even today we would go astray. But you have provided for yours from the beginning to end, O Lord. And you will continue to provide. Lord, we do not need to worry. You take care of your own. You have sent your servant and prophet. You have given all that was necessary, Lord. You have made all things known. And years ago, Lord, when nothing was yet to be seen, you have already shown us. Lord, how should we not exalt your name? How should we not praise you, the God of heaven, who hast taken care of us, Lord? And now you make your glory and all this known to your people. Lord, what a grace it is that we may hear it today, that we may see it, that all this is fulfilled, what your word says. Your word is always right. Your word does not lie. Your word is the truth. What the prophets have spoken, you confirm in these days, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. Praise and honor and glory be to your wonderful and glorious name. Receive the honor, the praise, and the worship. In Jesus' name, amen.